some help pronouncing your last name, Jennifer?
It's just like Grace.
Oh, regular like Grace. Grace. I love it. Mm-hmm. Like Grace. It's spelled G-R-A-I-S.
That's right.
Is that, what was that, French? Was it French originally? Or?
Well, it's my husband's name. His dad is actually Russian.
Oh, really? Well, yeah. I feel like we're kind of sisters. It's so interesting because I lived in Sonoma County for...
Oh, wow.
I had a radio station there, KVRE. It's a legendary station. And
oh, that's so cool.
Yeah, no, it was a very progressive station. We played any kind of music we want. It was a very beloved station. In fact, a couple of the DJs that I hired as program director are still there. One's doing work at a place called The Crush, which is a country station there. And I'm very close to it. And you live in Sonoma. And you've been in Sonoma how long now, Jennifer?
7 years.
7 years.
Almost eight. Yeah, almost eight. It's going so fast.
Well, Jennifer is an amazing woman. She has a new CD out called They Were Here. And this is another reason I kind of feel like we're spiritual sisters. I've always had a passion for horses. In fact, when I lived in Sonoma County, I lived up on Annandale Road. Up there, Bennett Valley Road, right by Annandale Park, which is a 4,000-acre park. And
gorgeous.
I had an Arab and a thoroughbred, and I used to ride every day in Annandale Park. And, of course, my heart was kind of broken because that whole entire area completely got burnt down in this last fire.
Yes, really, a lot of devastation. But it's now that it's spring and there's new growth happening. The grass is green and it's really covering the hillsides and there's new wildflowers. So the kind of rebirth part is happening now.
Oh, I'm so glad because it is. I don't know how to describe it to people, but you know, I love Maui. I'm very blessed to be here. But Sonoma County was one of my favorite places, and of course Sedona, which you've been in Sedona before too.
Oh,
I have.
Of course,
I love Sedona. Let me give a little background on you for people listening in that may not know who you are. You're a very interesting lady. You've studied energy healing in India, and you're also a professional singer. You have a lovely voice. You're a beautiful woman, and you toured with Jackson Brown as a background singer for a while as well.
Yes, I did.
You know, he's coming here to play here, and I think in about a month he's going to be playing here.
Oh, lucky him and lucky you.
Well, no, not lucky me, because I thought there'd be space, and it sold out like a month ago, and
I couldn't
get tickets. And I love Jackson Brown. In fact, I used to play him when I was a DJ at K-Rock in Los Angeles, and his manager at that time, Howard Burke, had called me up when I was on the air years ago. And that was when that album, Late for the Sky, came out, and they wanted a 55 Chevy, and he asked me if I could announce on the air, you know, that he was looking for a 55 Chevy, so I did a whole set of music about old cars. And they found their 55 Chevy for the cover of that album because I did that announcement.
Oh, that's so cool. What a great story.
Yeah, no, but they're wonderful. I've always been a huge fan. So you've done the road touring and the background singing. Did you see that movie, 50 Feet from Stardom?
Yes, I did. I related to that. I knew a lot of the singers in that movie. And it really was so well done and really showed, you know, what it felt like to be, at least on some level, I mean, to be a background singer. It really did. It was really neat.
Yeah. And oh, my gosh, you know, good background singers, such talent, you know. But and oh, my gosh, I think of the wonderful background singers Leonard Cohen had and so many, you know, I mean, they were just, there were some sisters, I forget their name, but they were famous background singers as well. But you have gone out on your own, you're married, and you're doing amazing music. This latest one was with Brian, a combination of work with Brian Metcalf.
With Byron. It's Byron
Metcalf. Oh, you're right.
Yeah,
Byron Metcalf, right.
Incredible drummer. And a really amazing shamanic practitioner, and he's done so much. I was so excited to team up with him.
Actually, he spends time in the Sedona and Prescott area, doesn't he?
Yeah, that's right. That's where he's from. Yeah.
Wow. And that, because that has that Native American vibe there for sure.
That's right. Exactly. Yeah. And the power of that land. And you just feel the ancestors there. And those big wide open spaces really kind of invite that.
And the magical red rocks. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, yeah. God, those red rocks.
Red rocks are amazing.
Absolutely.
So you were doing a lot of your work. You're still doing shamanic work. You also are an author. You did a lovely book. It's a teen fiction novel called Krista's Luck. It's the story of a girl, her horse, and the last wild Mustangs. Oh, my gosh.
That's right.
Oh, my gosh. Did you read the book My Friend Flicka?
Yes, of
and,
course.
And the Black Horse series, the Fury books?
Yes.
Me, too.
Absolutely.
I read all of those books when I was young.
I devoured all of them.
Me, too. Oh, my gosh. I called my dog because I couldn't afford to have a horse when I was young, so I called my dog Flicka. I did my So you can relate, right?
And, oh, that's and so perfect.
I would try to put a saddle on his back and reins. He did not like that. A very patient dog,
okay.
But enough was
it.
So I understand your passion for horses, but a lot of people don't understand. And I have followed this story, and there are some amazing documentaries about the Mustangs. But people do not realize the beauty and the power of these fantastic horses are really being threatened and not being taken care of enough by the government, I feel. I feel really there is not enough, obviously you feel this, so you wouldn't have done a CD, about the awful tragedy of a lot of these horses being slaughtered and killed in inhumane ways by being herded by helicopters and driven over cliffs. It's just heartbreaking.
Right, right. Yeah, we kind of have a history of not treating animals well, at least when there's profit involved or not enough profit involved. So unfortunately, most of these horses are worth more dead than they are alive. And, you know, that just kind of invites some bad behavior on our part. And also, there's a lot of mining interest in the West. So, you know, the land gets rented out or leased either for uranium mining or some other kind of mining or for cattle to graze. So the horses are pretty low priority, and in that sense, they also, you know, once they fence an area off, then they can even be annoying to the people who are trying to mine something from the land. So it's just become a big problem. You know, there are other ways, there are more humane ways to reduce population and to control the situation, but those ways have not been set into motion, and there's a lot of really organized groups who are working with the BLM and are on actual board committees of the BLM in order to try to bridge the gap. So we'll see what happens.
And I have seen some amazing stories about actually people who were prisoners doing special work, trying to do rehabilitation by training and trying to breaking the Mustangs. And how supposedly it's very, did you see that one about how life-changing it is when they?
Oh, it's so big because we have so much that we can resonate with horses in general, you know, but especially wild horses being imprisoned, you know, the prisoners have a tremendous amount of resonance with that.
Mm.
And, you know, all of us kind of being conditioned socially kind of out of our wildness and out of our primal self in order to kind of get along here together. I think that we lose a part of ourselves or we feel separate from nature. And so when you're working with horses that are also stabled and, you know, in boxes, we start to feel a certain resonance with the how that they have this incredible power, but it can be limited just in order to live with us. So we do it to ourselves and then we do it to the animals that we come in contact with.
Wow.
And I've seen prisoners who just immediately, you know, because they have to connect on an emotional level because the horses are as wild and unapproachable as they are. So they have to actually gain the trust of the horse in order to work with it. So in order to gain something's trust, you have to become trustworthy. So the horses bring out the very best in you.
That is so, so true. And, of course, I think you resonate with that and do this beautifully in the CD. Because you are actually, you've done shamanic training and you actually teach shamanic training. And a part of that shamanic feeling, that mystical feeling of you're connecting with their spirit comes out in this CD. But, I mean, you also, I love these liner notes because it's true. Because horse as a spirit animal represents and mirrors the innate life force, power, wildness, and the instinctual impulse for freedom within all of us, which is so true. And on top of that, you have even on the CD the sound of horse hoofs. I love, there's something in me that resonates with that. You started with the lovely sound of all these horses running wild, which you were able to capture, and you you go into the feeling, I love this too, a caravan of horse people, the knowledge of timeless cross-cultural caravan of horse people, which is in spirit, the horse, the spirit horse, you call it wind horse here, but I've been in Tibet, and wind horse is an actual energy that they represent, and you can see it in flags and energy. So it's interesting you picked up on the wind horse too.
Yes, yes, it's been a symbol. Yeah, that's a really potent symbol for sure. But I agree with you, Cindy. I love the sound of the horses running, and that was recorded on the album They Were Here. Byron got that recording from a documentary filmmaker named James Kleinert, who had been out in the wild and recorded the horses running, and Byron took that recording and then just worked with it till he could get the sound level to something that would work for our album. But it's my favorite part. It's the way They Were Here opens up, and so you hear horses running and you hear some clanging, and it just does. It feels like a caravan. It's just so amazing. Gives me goosebumps every time that Byron found a way to work that in. And at first he thought it would be too cliche, but not the way he did it. It just is just amazing.
It is, and I think in all of us there is that spirit. I know my friend actually called her horse ranch in Agoura Windhorse Farms, and when she was in Tibet with me, she actually got this beautiful, some beautiful statues and a rug even with the horse. So you kind of capture that. It almost seems like you go into that trance-like state when you're recording this CD. Do you actually put yourself in that spirit state to record with the drumming of Byron?
Absolutely. I mean, it's pretty effortless. It's an easy thing to do because the drumming is so beautiful, and the space that he's created with his partner Karen is just incredibly sacred. So he calls his studio the lair because it's the whole downstairs floor of their home, and it's just like you've walked into southwestern desert heaven.
Mm.
And there's just sacred objects everywhere. They have altars everywhere.
Oh, my.
It's just sonically beautiful, and it's also visually beautiful. So it's very easy to get into that space in that place. And then when you hear the music and what Byron has done, it was just very easy for me to shift consciousness a little bit. Yes, we do ask directly. We call in, you know, the loving, compassionate spirits, beings, divine energies, or any ancestors that want to speak through us. And that's kind of been the way my work has gone from being a pop music singer to someone who is kind of singing medicine songs on behalf of healing for either a person or a group of people or a group of animals or land. But I just find that there's so much more juice that I feel that runs through me when I'm doing it in service of something else, rather than entertainment, which entertainment in itself is really valuable. So I don't mean to downplay that at all. But it's a direction that I've enjoyed going in because I don't know what's going to happen and I don't know what's going to come. And so that keeps me present and really interested.
And you have to be open.
Yes, yes.
Open to spirit, yeah. I mean, I understand that totally. I never write down questions for interviews because I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what you're going to say, you know. So I always like to just be there and open to what may come. It brings spontaneity about, you know. I wanted to ask you a little bit about this journey, the spiritual journey you've been on. You went to India, and it sounds like it was a pretty inspirational trip for you. When did you go to India?
Oh, it was so incredible. My husband and I... when did we go? I think we went around 2003, 2004 to the Oneness University, and there was kind of a little bit of a movement going on in L.A. There were some people that had been going to the university, and they would be able to give this certain kind of Reiki that they called Diksha when they came back from India. So it was like a three-week program, a 21-day program, where you're just kind of steeped in this most beautiful vibration. And all you're doing is kind of receiving some of these hands-on energy transmissions and then taking some classes. But it was so shamanic. It was amazing. They would say things like, okay, we want you to travel back to the womb and experience that. And then they would put their hands on you and give you an energetic download, and bam, I would be right back there. So it was just a really fascinating month. Some people would just go right to sleep. other people would follow, you know, the directions really well. My husband is one of those who just fell asleep. He was hysterical.
Well, that's a form of going to it. It's just not conscious. It's a subconscious form of going to the same place.
Exactly. It's not a contest. It's perfect. It was just so humorous because he never tries to be overly spiritual, and he always brings this incredible authenticity wherever he goes with humor. So we had a lot of fun.
Where was that in India? What part?
It was outside of Chennai. It was used to be called Madras.
Oh.
So.
Well, you know, I've never been. I've traveled to over 40 countries, and I haven't been to India yet. I was in Nepal and Tibet, but I didn't make it to India. So, yeah.
I can't imagine. I would love to go there.
You can, but it's not like you might imagine. You can't imagine is right. Because
lot,
of the
sure.
Chinese, the Chinese influence is pretty heartbreaking to see in Tibet, actually. Mm-hmm. It was quite an awakening experience.
Yeah, well,
experience.
That's kind of, you know, also what we're trying to honor, and they were here, is that, you know, there have been a lot of cultures that have thrived and a lot of nature-based cultures that have, in the past, have honored the earth. And I think that a lot of that wisdom is coming back, or we're trying to get it back because we know that we're not truly fulfilled without it, that there's an octave missing.
It's true.
But, you know, we want to honor all that's gone before us, you know, that we feel a longing to reconnect with.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that is horse medicine, and it's also our own indigenous spirit, you know. We're all indigenous to somewhere, and a lot of us have lost some of those teachings and we might have even lost our family tree. So this is our way of kind of, you know, nodding and honoring to that part of the world that we just kind of, it goes unspoken, it goes forgotten.
When I go to Sedona and take a hike back into the hills and the canyons, that Native American energy is so strong and so present. I mean, I'm just thinking about it. I'm getting chicken skin because it is so, we call it chicken skin here in Hawaii. Sorry, goosebumps for you. But it's chicken goose. They're bumping anyway. But there is that, you feel that energy, and there's some lovely places actually in Sedona where you can go and still see beautiful cave drawings, that ancient drawings on the walls of some of their old caves and things there. So you have a lot of great websites. I love the name of your websites, Pure Land Poetry. Now, that is a great name, Jennifer, purelandpoetry.com.
Oh, yeah, that's Frank. That's not my website. That is the poet that that actually wrote some of the liner notes. And so he has his own website, and Byron just wanted to honor him.
Well, thank you.
That.
That's lovely. Uh-huh. And theamericanwildhorse.com to find out more about the wild horses. And by the way, you got a lovely photograph on this. I don't know if that's from that site, but you honor the people who did this lovely photograph of the wild horses. And your website's Jennifer Grace. That's spelled Jennifer, G-R-A-I-S, .com. You have quite an interesting history, too. I mean, to go from being a touring background singer, and I don't think background singers actually get paid much, do they?
No, I got paid well.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I was the only background singer in the whole band. So it wasn't like I was one of three or anything.
Oh, that's good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was good. I was a a recording artist, and so I was mostly hired for studio work. So in order to make it worth my while to go on the road, Jackson just paid really fairly. He paid everyone really fairly.
Well, that's wonderful to hear. I mean, because I sure love his lyrics and his music. And so you went from there, and the leap, how did this transformation from background singing to having faith in yourself enough to kind of branch off and do your own thing and do your shamanic studies and become an author? Where did that transition happen?
Oh, I just, you know, as I was a studio singer, so I was able to make enough money to make my own albums. I made a couple of my own albums. I was just really, I was driven to express myself through songwriting, so that was extremely rewarding when I was able to make enough money to make my own album. And then I recorded another album with the musicians that were touring with Jackson Browne, and that's how I met Jackson, was through them. So, and then as I was able to, you know, make enough money, I was just drawn to shamanism always. I have a rich dream life, and I had personal work that I wanted to do, some things I wanted to clear up in my own life, and I was directed to this really beautiful healer, a shamanic healer named Amanda Folger in Topanga Canyon. And, so she really, and that's another canyon. That's really
I lived at the top of Topanga Canyon on Medley Lane.
Oh, that's so cool. I know just where that is.
And there was all these wild, wonderful trails, and I had a big old thoroughbred that was given to me because they were going to put this horse down. His name was Dynamo when I got him. I said, well, first thing I'm going to, I was working, this is ages ago, at some very expensive clothing stores in Beverly Hills called Giorgio, and this lady was my customer, and I asked her how she was one day, and she says, well, I'm kind of sad. I'm going to have to put down one of my horses. I said, why? And she says, oh, you know, he got ridden, hadn't been ridden in a while, and he ran away and ran into a telephone cable and is blind in one eye, and we just don't know what to do with him. And I said, well, I'll take him. Don't put him down. And he was 7 years old, and I got on, I rode him. She said he was completely out of control because he hadn't been ridden. He was so perfect. And turned out it was his 7th birthday. I took him and had him for 20 years, and I took him up with me to Sonoma County. And we were soulmates. We were so bonded. My horse.
Dynamo. I love it.
Well, no, I changed his name to Lumiere.
Because, oh, that's beautiful.
Well, because, you know, I needed something softer for his rather than the Dynamo would cut him in trouble.
So
he became Lumiere, and I rode him always up there in Sonoma County. In fact, I had some amazing stories that happened with him up there, actually. But the Roundhouse Barn area, that was where I first had, that burnt down. And then where I had him up in Annandale Park, that area is gone now, too. But
oh,
he,
interesting.
Yeah,
wow.
We were just so bonded. I loved my horse. But, you know, horses and people sometimes have that. I think more maybe women than men. But but we had that wonderful bond. I did want to ask you a little bit about Sonoma County and how it's doing. I know you said it's starting to come back, but I have friends who lost their houses. I'm sure you did, too. Are there any more fundraisers, and how are people doing, all the people that got displaced from their homes?
Well, the community really came together, and, you know, in Sonoma, the city of Sonoma, not as many homes burned as in, like, the city of Glen Ellen, which is the next little town up, and then, obviously, Santa Rosa got hit really hard.
Yeah.
The hillsides are still pretty charred, you know, but I've heard that the oak trees are going to mostly drop their leaves and be able to come back. But
oh, good.
There was just an incredible pulling together, and, you know, people were donating so many items that they were being turned away.
Really?
And I think that there's still a tremendous amount of fundraising and support because everyone is still very traumatized. We still have online forums on Facebook, and if somebody starts to smell smoke, they always check in. Mm-hmm. Am I smelling? What's going on? Mm-hmm. Did I feel an earthquake last night? So, I mean, everyone's really pulled together. And
Where do you live in Sonoma?
I live in Boys Hot Springs, just outside of the downtown.
Okay, yeah. Well, I used to live, as I said, in Endale, but I'd go over to Calistoga for the mud baths there, and I loved it. And, of course, that was a threatened. I hope people still remember that they can go there. One of the saddest parts was people, I even heard people saying in some shows, don't go to Sonoma County. It's not the same. Don't go to Santa Rosa. For tourism, and the winery tours are a huge source of income for these places. So I hope people do still go. There are lots of wineries still left. They weren't all burnt down.
I don't think, there were very few that were burnt down. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, the hillsides were a little burnt, but it's actually just stunningly beautiful. You know, it's still stunningly beautiful. You'd have to drive down certain roads to even know there was a fire.
That's good to know. That's good to know. Yeah.
No, and the town of Calistoga is fine. So even though that's where the big fire started, that fateful night with the heavy winds, it started up near Calistoga and then blew towards Santa Rosa. But there's, you know, it's still, as you drive into Sonoma, it's still the same oak-studded, rolling hills, green, absolutely gorgeous. The mustard grass is blooming now. It's stunning.
I used to always go up every Saturday to the Sonoma Mountain Zen Center on the top of Sonoma Mountain Road up there.
And yes, oh, that's a beautiful area.
It survived. They had to fight. They had to get a generator. They had to fight day and night. They have 80 acres up there, and but they did survive.
Wow.
And boy, it changed a lot of people's lives. And I think the story is that's so amazing is how people did pull together and support each other. The good that came out from the people helping each other is amazing.
I know. That's just, like, we can be so great. Humanity can be so amazing.
Yeah.
We have some really high highs and some really low lows.
Yes, yes, indeed. Well, what's your next project going to be? Is there another project in the works?
Well, that's what Byron and I have been, you know, kind of throwing around. We're just going to get through this next month, which is, you know, we're really promoting because it's the release date month. So,
and you're number 7 in ZMR's own music radio, and you're
we're so excited.
Congratulations on that.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
So you could be up for some categories in the awards they do.
So we could be.
Yes.
So that would be quite an honor.
Yeah.
You know, as Byron says, though, you know, we're both super, super grounded, super tuned into energy, and we tend to work in the same ways. So we tend to kind of track with each other and with what wants to happen. And our primary purpose is to be of service to that.
Yes. So. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. It's too easy to get hung up in the awards and those things. I know, because I'm a voting member of the Grammys, and I see sometimes people completely get sidetracked by thinking, well, this is, could have a better category for getting an award, or this one could be this way.
Right.
No. Don't do it hoping to get nominated. Just do it because it's what you believe in, and that's more important than getting an award. Our nomination. So thank you for honoring that. That's really, really important to remember. Although, you know, it is interesting because you're almost beyond a category in what you were doing on They Were Here. I hate boxes too, but this is one that goes beyond that, because I wish there was a spirit music category. Wouldn't it be nice if there was a spirit music category?
Yes, that would be really cool. Yeah. Well, and the thing that I like, I mean, it's almost as if I wasn't part of creating it. This is an album I really love to listen to.
Mm-hmm.
So when I put They Were Here on, especially I like to hear it in my car because it feels cinematic, and
yes.
I like to be moving
yes.
when I hear it, and I like to see a landscape when I hear it.
Yeah.
And it doesn't even matter if it's ocean or desert or what the landscape is. It just feels right to be somehow seeing nature when I listen to it.
I totally get that. I take a walk in nature every day. I'd rather be on horseback doing that every day, but I don't have a horse now, so I take a walk in nature every day. And you have a horse now?
I don't have a horse at the moment. No.
Yeah, you had a horse called Solo, and I've seen pictures of this beautiful horse. And
Thank you.
You do a song to Solo.
Oh, I miss him.
I know.
I really miss
my horse Lumiere too. I can get it. Well, you know, we're just about out of time, but I just have to say thank you so much for your love and your passion and following your heart and your purpose in life, and you are obviously doing that. People can find you. The best place to find you would be your website at JenniferGrace.com, correct?
That's correct. And ByronMetcalf.com, and you can get downloads, or you can do iTunes or Amazon to stream, or do a download or buy the physical CD if They Were Here.
Wonderful. Well, thank you for your wonderful, heartfelt work, and it's great to connect, and maybe we'll connect somewhere, Sonoma, Sedona, Maui, somewhere along the way.
Feeling we will. It's been such a pleasure. Thank you.
Yes,
so much.
It has indeed. Big aloha from here to there.
Okay, thank you. Same back to you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Okay, bye.